A Prayer of the Athenians. Rain, rain, O dear Zeus, down on the ploughed fields of the Athenians and on the plains. In truth, we ought not to pray at all, or if we do, we ought to pray in this simple and noble fashion. Just as we must understand when it is said that Aesculapius prescribed to this man horse exercise, or bathing in cold water, or going without shoes, so we must understand it when it is said that the nature of the universe prescribed to this man disease or mutilation or loss or anything else of the kind. For in the first case, prescribed means something like this. He prescribed this for this man as a thing adapted to procure health. And in the second case, it means that which happens to or suits every man is fixed for him in a manner suitable to his destiny. For this is what we mean when we say that things are suitable to us. As the workmen say of squared stones in walls or pyramids, that they are suitable when they fit them to one another in some kind of clear-cut connection. For there is altogether one fitness, one harmony. And as the universe is made up out of all bodies to be such a body as it is, so out of all existing causes, necessity or destiny is made up to be such a cause as it is. And even those who are completely ignorant understand what I mean, for they say, it, necessity or destiny, brought this to such a person. And if brought, also prescribed to him. Let us then accept these things as if they were prescribed to us, just as we accept what Aesculapius prescribes. Many, as a matter of course, even amongst his prescriptions, are disagreeable, but we accept them in the hope of health. Let the perfecting and accomplishment of the things which the common nature judges to be good be judged by you to be of the same kind as your health, and so accept everything which happens, even if it seems disagreeable, because it leads to this, to the health of the universe, and to the prosperity and felicity of Zeus. For he would not have brought on any man what he has brought, if it were not useful for the universe as a whole. Neither does the nature of anything, whatever it may be, cause anything which is not suitable to that which is directed by it. For two reasons, then, it is right to be content with what happens to you, the one because it was done for you and prescribed for you and in a way had reference to you, originally spun with the thread of your destiny from the most ancient causes, and the other because even that which comes to every individual in particular is to the power which administers the universe a cause of felicity and perfection, even of its very continuance. For the integrity of the whole is mutilated if you cut off anything whatever from the conjunction and the continuity, either of its constituent parts or of its causes. And you do cut off something, as far as it is in your power, when you complain at your situation. Just this is in a way damaging to it. Do not be disgusted or discouraged or dissatisfied if you do not succeed in doing everything according to right principles. But when you do fail, return back again and be content if the greater part of what you do is consistent with our true nature, and love this to which you return, and do not return to philosophy as if she were a master, but act like someone with painful eyes who applies a bit of sponge and egg, or as another applies a plaster or a lotion. For thus you will not fail to obey reason, and you will find rest in it. And remember that philosophy requires only the things which your true nature requires, but you would have something else which is not according to your true nature. It may be objected, why, what is more agreeable than this which I am doing? Is this not the very way pleasure deceives us? But consider the ways in which magnanimity, freedom, simplicity, equanimity, piety are more agreeable. For what is more agreeable than wisdom itself, when you think of the security and the happy course of all things that depend on the faculty of understanding and knowledge? Things in their reality are so enveloped and hidden that they have seemed to philosophers, and not a few of them, nor common philosophers, altogether unintelligible. Even to the Stoics themselves they seem difficult to understand. And all the assent we give to what we take in is changeable, for where is the man who never changes? Take your thoughts, then, to the objects themselves, and consider how short-lived they are and worthless, and that they may be in the possession of a catamite, or a whore, or a robber. Then turn to the morals of those amongst whom you live, and it is hardly possible to endure even the most agreeable of them, to say nothing of being hardly able to endure oneself. In such darkness, then, and dirt, and in so constant a flux, both of substance and of time, and of motion and of things moved, what there is worth prizing very highly, or even making an object of serious pursuit, I cannot imagine. But, on the contrary, it is a man's duty to comfort himself and to wait for the natural dissolution, and not to be vexed at the delay, but to rest in these principles only. The one, that nothing will happen to me which is not conformable to the nature of the universe, and the other, that it is in my power never to act contrary to my God and guardian spirit. For there is no man who will compel me to this.